Lydia Bastianich is a best-selling cookbook author, beloved and award-winning television personality, and a hugely successful restaurateur. She has now written an emotional memoir entitled My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. At the age of 12, Lydia started a new life in New York. She soon began to work in restaurants as a young teenager, the first step toward the creation of her own American dream. And she tells in great vivid detail the fulfillment of that dream, her close-knit family, her dedication and endless passion for food that ultimately leads to multiple restaurants, many cookbooks, and 20 years on public television as the host of her own cooking show. Lydia Bastianich's new memoir is My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. I talked to her about how her cookbooks have always felt personal, but how she decided she wanted to write a memoir.
I didn't plan to write it yet. I thought I was going to do it maybe in 5 or 10 years. And I knew I was going to do it to collect all the information for my family, for my grandchildren. And along the way, you know, I had written little pieces and put it away in a folder. But I wasn't kind of ready to do it so soon. And then, you know, within my books, as you say, you know, the little sort of snippets of why food, why, how did food affect us, how did I get involved, the whys of food, the growing, the sharing. And people wanted more and more. And, you know, I discussed it with my publisher, Knopf, and this is Lydia. This is the story. It is now the time, you know, because I am an immigrant. I came here, I was 12, and there's just so parallel to what's happening in today's world.
Many people probably don't know that you were a refugee. You grew up behind the Iron Curtain in post-war Yugoslavia. How did that childhood shape you?
Well, Joe, you know, it was very confining in the sense that, you know, we couldn't speak Italian and we couldn't practice our religion. But as a child, my mother had the good sense to put myself and my brother with my grandmother in the country, in a little town, and there was nature. And I think nature saved me in a sense because grandma had chickens, she had ducks, she had rabbits, we milked the goats, we had pigs, you know, we slaughtered the pigs, made the prosciutto, the sausages, grandpa made wine, he made olive oil, the garden, you know, I would go forage and collect the peas, the favas, the potatoes. So for me, it was an idyllic setting, a beautiful setting, you know, in the peacefulness of this kind of country, a setting with food and with grandma. You know, the fact that there were oppressions and, you know, I heard my parents sometimes whispering in Italian in the house because they couldn't speak it outside, not going to church. My grandmother would kind of sneak me in the church. I realized those things were kind of not normal. But only, you know, did I realize as I grew up that these were, you know, really a lot of our basic civil liberties we were not allowed to practice.
The other thing that you read about, which is so interesting in the book, is that when we talk about buying local and eating local, well, this is what you were brought up on. This was your reality as a child.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I kind of formed my reference library of food, of flavors, of this pristine kind of seasonal, perfectly ripe fig, perfectly ripe peach, just pluck it off the tree, and the aromas would kind of permeate my nostrils, my head. And those aromas are still with me. And whenever I cook, I search for those aromas. And thankfully, ever more, everybody's becoming more conscious of the need of that reality and really natural source of food.
During the childhood, you write in the book that you loved your childhood, and it was, in your view, rather idyllic. But there was the understanding of you know, the time obviously came when your family has to flee.
Yes, you know, do I remember also the times, you know, when I would go into the city in my mother's and father's home, you know, the night to 2 o'clock, I think, that the knock came on the door and the secret police came to look for my father. My father had two little trucks, and he was deemed a capitalist, and The trucks were taken away, and he was put in jail, and we didn't see him for 40 days. So those things also are memories, and those are, you know, kind of intense as a child, you know, really frightened. Certainly, you know, after I was about 9, my parents decided that this was no way to raise the children. And ultimately, my mother, my brother, and I went to visit family on the other side of the border in Trieste. And they wouldn't let my father come. He had to be as a hostage, stay there, because they knew that if a family went as a whole, they wouldn't return. And then, you know, after we were a few weeks in Trieste, again, in the middle of the night, the knock on the door, my father escaped and came to visit us, to find us at my great-aunt's house in Trieste. And, you know, he ran over the border. They shot at him. He made it. And then I realized that, you know, we were not going to go back to grandma, to that beautiful place, that our life was taking another turn. And I think, you know, that point kind of made me realize and really focus. And I used food as a connector to back to that idyllic place and grandma. And for the rest of my life, you know, I've been connecting with food.
Lydia Bastianich is our guest. The name of the book, My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. It is incredible. You're only 10 years old when your family leaves. You spend 2 years in a refugee camp. Talk a little bit about the memories of that time and the ultimate goal, which, of course, was to get to America.
Yes. You know, once I was out of grandma's courtyard, if you will, life became very unsure. And, you know, by that time I was 10, 11, 12, I was getting to be a teenager, and you realize more things. And I remember that my brother and I would huddle. He was a few years older. Because, you know, in the camp, in a refugee camp, we stayed there for 2 years. And, you know, a campus, you have your own little cubicle, you go in line for food, and you wait, and you wait. You wait for somebody to say, yes, you can come, you know, some country. And I remember that the countries were the United States, the Canada, Australia, and my parents really wanted to come to the United States. And 2 patience years of living in a refugee camp, trying some small menial jobs, and it was a time of such insecurity, you know, for a child. It was just the 4 of us. That was the core. And when we ultimately, in 1958, Dwight Eisenhower was the president. He opened immigration for political refugees fleeing communism, and we were given the opportunity, you know, the visa to come as refugees. I remember there was a great celebration. My parents, this joyous moment, and ultimately, when in 1958 we came to the United States, and again, we didn't have anybody here, so it was the Catholic Relief Services, the Red Cross, that brought us here, that found us a place to stay. Ultimately, you know, they put us first in a hotel. Then ultimately, they found a little home, found a job for my father, and so on.
And you come, and you really, as you say, these agencies helped, because as you arrived, you really had little to nothing.
We had nothing. We had nothing, certainly no money, no place to go, no relatives to call upon. And we were in the hands. There's an Italian saying, nella balia delle onde, meaning we were tossed with the waves, wherever the waves took us. And, you know, there's a lot of people that really cared and took care of us. And when we found when they found this little apartment and the job for my father, you know, people brought in this little apartment chairs, tables, tablecloths, food, people that complete strangers, American strangers, yes, the Italian community, but everybody. You know, I just can't, in retrospect, when I think about it, the goodness of these people that I didn't know, and I still don't know who they were, but they helped. And I just can't, you know, there's no place like America. The welcome that we received, the opportunities that we found here. And, you know, hence my story, if you will, my story of success, because I had so much desire and energy, we all had as a family, to grow, to put our roots, to make it happen. And we did.
Your first place where you lived was Hotel Walcott at 4 West 31st Street in Manhattan. And your mother is looking for jobs, and obviously the idea is to make money and to buy food and to be able to take care of the family. But then food became a part of your life as far as the business very quickly, didn't it?
It did. You know, food seemed to be, you know, I guess it, food is the kind of the main line for our lives, at least for mine, going from my grandmother's courtyard to the lack of food in the camp and maybe when we first came here. And then, you know, food again, since that connection to food for me was so strong, I continued in that direction. I met my husband, who was in the restaurant industry. We opened a small restaurant of 9 tables, and then it grew. You know, I think I just kind of flourished in the. I found this opportunity to grow, to build a home for the family, to be comfortable, to make connections, friends, to have you know, connection with guests, to develop a business. I mean, you know, from an immigrant, from having nothing actually, to being able to open a business, you know, that's, I don't know, you know, certainly I couldn't have done that in Italy, certainly not at that pace. And we were just, you know, hungry to just make it happen and work and enjoy and have a good home, have a beautiful home, because, you know, we were just, as we said, you know, in Balia de León, the floating on the sea.
One of the stories you tell, I just want to backtrack for a moment, because one of the stories you tell that I thought was beautiful is that when you are in the camp, you are working with nuns in the kitchen, and you're learning from them. And you're learning, this is really where you learned about cooking for a large number of people, to feed a lot of people with a lot of food.
It was my first kind of commercial. You know, I cooked with grandma. I was a little assistant. And when we're in the camp, a benefactor actually paid for my schooling in a convent. But to supplement to even more, I would help in the kitchen. They would have me. I was 10, 11. And I peeled potatoes. I peeled apples, things that I did with grandma. But I got to see a commercial kitchen because the nuns would cook for all the kids, they would do lunch and all of that. And I was fascinated by the organization. And that was kind of my first entree. You know, Joe, I didn't think then this is what I'm going to do. I was just fascinated and I was taken in by food and by the majesty of food, if you will, able to connect, to give to people. And, you know, the need, sort of, it's a basic connector. Or equalizer for all of us is food and the table.
I think you paint a very honest picture in this book of opening restaurants and the challenges there. This is not an easy business, is it?
It's a tough business. It's a way of life. You know, it's not you're going to do my 8 hours and then I come home and I have my family life. Actually, family gets kind of involved because a restaurant is all the times that everybody else is enjoying and relaxing, you need to be there to service them, to provide. And so it's tough in the mere workings of it, but also economically. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong, and the opening of a restaurant is a big investment now. You know, when we first had the 2 restaurants, the first little ones in Queens, then we sold them, and we decided we were going to open Felidia in Manhattan. That's where I became the chef, actually. We almost didn't make it because of, you know, over budget, the underpinning of the building we didn't plan on. And so, you know, there's a lot of hurdles in this industry. But, you know, this is what we knew and we loved. And my husband, who was a part of the industry, too, before, it was a way for us to really express ourselves and make a good living.
At what point did television come to you and that you realized that you were good at that and you could communicate to people your love of food and how they could share it with their loved ones?
You know, when we opened for Lydia in 1981, and I became the chef, because we opened our first restaurant in 71, and then we had another little one. And those 10 years, I was not a chef. We hired a chef. I became his sous chef, and I learned the intricacies of a restaurant cuisine. But in 81, when we opened for Lydia, I became the chef. And what I decided to do, in the other restaurants, we had the Italian-American cuisine, which was a delightful cuisine. Still today, people love it, but it's not the regional cuisine of Italy. And, you know, I said, I'm going to cook what we cook at home. And that is the regional cuisine of Italy. Italy has 20 regions, so it's quite diversified. And, you know, then as I was cooking, and I was making polenta and risottos and cooking with sauerkraut, all of these things, the journalists came to see what this woman was cooking. And so did Julia Child and James Beard one day walk in. And she was interested in the risotto, learning how to make the risotto with mushrooms, I remember. And we became friends. And ultimately, she asked me to appear on her MasterChef series, which was on PBS. And I loved it because by then I was comfortable with her. You know, I love to teach, to share. And we had a great time. And the producer says, you know, Lydia, you're pretty good. How about a show of your own? And she encouraged me. And that's when I began with my show on PBS. And that's 20 years ago. And the books and so on. So my life was kind of opportunities that came along. And I loved the challenge, and I took them, and I just ran with it.
Well, it's a beautiful story, and you tell it beautifully. It's My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. The book is published by Knopf. Lydia Bastianich, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me on, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, My American Dream, A Life of Love, Family, and Food. The book is published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.